Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, Very Remote. Here are some of the stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, November 26, 2021. The South Sudan Police Service is asking residents of the South Sudan capital, Juba, to watch out for criminals during the months of December and January.
Deployed more forces at the hotspots. And then we will deploy forces among our sectors. We have Sector 1, Sector 2, Sector 3, 65.
And authorities in Upper Nile State say they have recovered bodies of passengers missing during a boat incident on Tuesday.
We have counted all the bodies recovered yesterday, and on Wednesday, there are 11 bodies.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan Police Service say they are concerned that criminal activities could increase in the South Sudanese capital, Juba, as people approach December. The deputy spokesperson of the National Police Service, Brigadier General James Dak Carlo, says it is a common habit that in December and January, some people get involved in robberies to provide for their families during the festive season. He cautions the public to be vigilant and alert, to always report any suspicious persons or event to the police. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Brigadier General James Dak Carlo, Deputy Police Spokesperson and Director of the Special Protection Unit at the South Sudan National Police Service, says the security situation nationwide has been fairly calm except for a few places in Jonglei and Lek State and parts of the Greater Pibor administrative area where intercommunal attacks, revenge killings and cattle raids have occurred in the past. General Carlo says police have received reports of child abductions and early child marriages in Pibor and and several reports about the youth gangs robbing people on the streets of Juba.
And when Christmas comes, every child in the house needs a new shoes, new clothes, new headdress. And the men also want to put something on the table, maybe bringing a chicken. Cost of a chicken is very expensive, although in other countries, chicken is the cheapest item or the cheapest meal. But it's different in our country here. So they would like to change the meal. And the changing the meal is to put something on the table. So the year of December is a rush year because there's a lot of economic burden. And then if you don't get it, then they use other means. The other mean is corruption. The other mean is robbery.
Carlos says come December, there is typically a spike in robberies, road accidents, gender-based violence and domestic violence, and officers are on standby.
Deployed more forces at the hotspots. And then we will deploy forces among our sectors. We have Sector 1, Sector 2, Sector 3, 65. These sectors, we have joint integrated forces composed of national security, composed of Tiger Force, composed of South Sudan National Police Force. All these forces will be on alert. They will have a patrol movement, and they will have a mobile movement, and they will have a checkpoint movement. We will have vehicle with forces, with guns, and so that for whatever happened, they will be alert.
Carlos says many people also travel from rural areas to urban centers or vice versa to spend time with their families. He says the police and the other security organizations will ensure that vehicle escorts are provided, especially for those traveling the Juba-Nimule Road, where numerous ambushes and road attacks have occurred in the past. He says police will also ensure that passengers using the Juba Kaya, Juba Yei, Juba Torit, Juba Bor, Juba Terekeka and Juba Maridi roads are protected and travel safely, but he strongly advises the public to be aware of their surroundings.
They have to be alert and they have to be as a team. They have to work as a team. They have to unite and they come together to see night watch and to make the children also that they should take the security in their hands. And they have to report whatever they see this suspicious movement or people trying to make a certain plan. They have to report before time. as we say, December is a hot month. So you have to see that when you go at night, doors are locked, nobody comes late. And also the neighbor must be conscious. If there is a cry from the other door, we have to get up and see what is going on.
Carlo encourages the public to always cooperate with the police by sharing tips about suspects involved in any incident, saying communities often know the robbers or the bandits as they live together. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
The United Nations Humanitarian Affairs Office in Sudan says more than 4,300 people have been affected by the clashes that broke out between farmers and nomads in West Darfur's Jebel Moon locality on Monday. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says humanitarian access to most parts of Jebel Moon remains limited. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Initial reports from the United Nations indicate that at least 43 people have been killed, 46 villages have been burned and looted, and an unknown number of people have been injured in the ongoing fighting. UN OCHA also says crops, harvested food stocks, cattle and other assets have also been looted and burned. It says several people, including children, are missing. The statement says many people have taken refuge in the Jebel Moon Mountains, in Sleha village, in the village of Kulbus locality, in Hesheba village of Krenik locality, and in the Saraf Umra area of North Darfur state. Others have reportedly crossed the border into neighboring Chad. The statement said humanitarian agencies have temporarily paused some of their operations in the locality due to security concerns. Alawiya Mukhtar Muhammad, a member of the Darfur Women Forum, a consortium of women advocacy groups, expressed concern over the security of women displaced by the fighting. She spoke to South Sudan in Focus by phone earlier today. Mukhtar, who witnessed the crisis, says the conflicting parties should ensure that women are protected and are able to access services, including healthcare. She says the violence exposes many women and children to harsh weather far from their homes.
They need to get enough protection as they go to fetch water or go to collect firewood. At this moment, the weather in the northern part is so cold, and I believe they don't have proper shelter at the border with Chad. Even being at the border is not safe for them.
An estimated 66,500 people live in Jebel Moon locality, and even before the fighting. The 2021 Sudan Humanitarian Needs Overview estimated more than 43,000 of the residents need humanitarian assistance. Over 13,000 people of Jebel Moon are in a crisis and face food insecurity, according to the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification Report. Witnesses in West Darfur told South Sudan in Focus yesterday that more than 11 villages have been attacked and more than 1,000 houses burned down and property looted. They estimated that between 9,000 to 10,000 people have been displaced and majority of them have crossed the border into Chad. Mukhtar says it is most likely that many women will be exposed to violence as they try to access life-saving services.
Women have a lot of needs in this situation. Many of them will be in need of health kits. Some of them might be exposed to rape and sexual assault. We heard about unconfirmed reports of rape cases in recent days, but we are unable to confirm the exact number up to this moment.
UN OCHA says the displaced urgently need food, shelter, water, and health care. On November 21st, a delegation led by local chiefs, the acting governor of West Darfur, representative from the State Security Committee, and the native administration from the locality visited some areas in Jebel Moon. Repeated phone calls to the humanitarian coordinator of West Darfur State, Omar Abdul Karim, for an update on the situation went unanswered. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Local leaders in Rang say they have recovered 11 bodies of 12 people who went missing when a motorboat in which they were traveling capsized on the White Nile in Manyo County of Upper Nile State on Tuesday. The head of Rang County River Transportation Association, William Omia, says the bodies recovered include children aged between 3 to 16 years. On Tuesday this week, 28 passengers were involved in an accident in the White Nile while traveling to Upper Nile State Capital Malakal. 16 of the passengers were rescued and rushed to Kaka Town for treatment, while 12 others were missing. Viola Elias reports for VOA from Juba.
William Omai, head of Rang River Transport Association, tells South Sudan in Focus that the recovered bodies include those of five children from one family who were traveling with their mother to Malakal town before they met their death. Omai says the bodies of the victims in Tuesday's boat accident were handed over to the families in Malakal town for burial.
We have counted all the bodies recovered yesterday, and on Wednesday there are 11 bodies.
Omai says the search team is still searching for the body of one child who is still missing. He says the accident happened at 10 a.m. in an area called Nyaron in Tong Guang Payam. He says the boat developed some mechanical troubles and lost balance. He says the drivers tried to restart the engine, but when it failed to turn over, the boat capsized. Omai says the accident prompted local authorities to suspend river transportation until they receive assurance from the boat's drivers that the boat is safe for passengers.
They have not resumed yet because there are some routes which we are not allowed to use, and also the authorities want to know the reason for the accident as well. The authorities also want safety assurance before we resume river transportation. I appeal to our authorities to help us because this is only transport since roads are impassable.
Hapsa Ajak, the Upper Nile State Minister of Youth, Culture and Sport, who also doubles as the acting state governor, says the entire state government is saddened by the incident, especially with the loss of five children from one family. Ajak says the boat was overloaded with goods and people. She says authorities have issued directives to all security agencies along the Nile, ports and boat drivers to not overload their boats or face the consequences.
We have given directives that any boat which is meant for carrying goods must strictly carry goods, and those boats which are for carrying passengers must strictly carry passengers. We also give directives that every boat must carry minimum capacity or ton, which is manageable, and must not carry extra kilos or tons. And if any boat refuses to abide by this directive, we'll automatically face the legal procedures, or we can ban him from working on river transportation. We have also given these orders to all the security organs who are responsible along the Nile and to all the boat drivers so that they know and implement them.
In 2014, at least 200 civilians drowned in a ferry accident on the White Nile River while fleeing violence when fighting between forces loyal to President Salva Kiir and those loyal to Vice President Riek Machar spread from Juba to Malakal. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Ministers from the Nile Basin continue to discuss how they can use the Nile waters without disputes. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is most special about you?
I don't like disappointing people because of my actions. The way it pained me when somebody has disappointed me, I think about the same pain that I will cause to someone whom I have disappointed.
I'm someone who is very friendly, and I can interact with different people without considering their conditions and their status.
One thing special about me, I love the way God has created me, and I love being myself. I don't need to disguise myself like somebody, or I don't need to put myself pretend like someone. I appreciate the way God has created me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. South Sudan's Minister for Water Resources and Irrigation is calling for greater cooperation among Nile Basin member states to tackle growing challenges of water scarcity, pollution, and inadequate sources of energy. Peter Manoa-Gapkwot spoke today at the meeting of the regional ministers of water resources in Juba. Gapkwot is the new chairperson of the Council of Ministers of the Nile Basin Initiative. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Mitigating environmental issues such as climate change and pollution are high on the agenda for the meeting of ministers of water resources of the Nile Basin Initiative. They kicked off their annual meeting in Juba today, aiming to tackle growing challenges of water scarcity and inadequate energy resources resulting from the growing population in the region. Peter Manoa-Gapkwot, the South Sudan Minister of Water Resources and Irrigation, takes over the chairmanship of the Nile Basin Initiative at this meeting. He has promised to work closely with the member states.
Addressing this and the other challenges we face in the basin, which require effort from all member states with cooperation, and as a country of Nile Basin, we need to cooperate and work together hand by hand.
Christian Bada, the European Union representative, was at the meeting to represent donors at the Council of Ministers. He says the challenges facing the Nile Basin are more pressing than ever. He notes the growing conflicts and instability issues in several parts of the basin, adding that member states need to work on governing agreements to address some of the conflicts in the region over the shared water resources of the Nile. Bada says he hopes the South Sudan leadership of the NBI takes the Nile dialogue further.
As we all know, the challenges facing the Nile River Basin are more pressing than ever. Think climate change, pollution, and of course the current increase in the consumptive use of water against the background of ambitious development initiatives and soaring populations all over the basin. Out of more than 500 million people currently living in all 11 riparian countries, some 270 million people are thought to depend on the Nile, a figure that is bound to more than double to 570 million by 2050.
The Council of Ministers meeting brings together 10 ministers of NBI states, 20 technical members, as well as development partners. While some of the ministers attended the occasion physically at Palm Africa Hotel in Juba today, some participated virtually. Mustafa Ahmed Al Mubarak, the Church of the Affairs at the Sudan Embassy in Juba, says it is time member states work collectively to ensure equitable use of Nile resources.
River Nile has always remained as a source for the life for our countries and our people, for agriculture, drinking, electricity, and development. We should work together, collectively, to keep our River Nile sustainable for the next generations and to address the challenges that might appear, including pollution and climate change.
At this year's Council of Ministers meeting, Mohamed Ahmed Antar, chairman of the Nile Water Sector of Egypt, told the members that he decided not to participate fully in the meeting.
I would like also to confirm that in this meeting, Egypt preserves its position during the previous NileCom meeting regarding the agenda, the discussions, and the outcomes of the NileCom meeting. Accordingly, we will not be able to adopt the agenda of this meeting and its outcomes.
This is the 29th Council of Ministers meeting of the Nile Basin since the regional governing body was established. Held once a year, it deliberates on key governance issues surrounding the equitable use of the River Nile Basin to ensure peace and stability among the member countries. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
We'd love to hear your feedback on the stories in this broadcast. We got many comments on issues in our broadcast this week. We start with Martin Manuel Wogol in Nimule Town, who writes, "Hello John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I would like to comment on the organizers of the Governors Forum going on in Juba. It will really address the issues of public interest, such as good governance and the role of political actors in peace implementation processes. Money well spent, he concludes. Samuel Remo in Yei writes, "Hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. The issue of corruption in South Sudan will not end because most people who are working in public offices don't disclose their wealth or their relatives' wealth to the public. That's why corruption is looming all over the country." Mading Malwal, along from Malakal Town, writes, "The country is experiencing violence these recent days. The government of South Sudan should purchase new weapons which are different from the one available in the country. That would make the disarmament of the civilian population possible, as those weapons would be outdated in the country after they are collected and destroyed." Ayen Dak Dao in Sherikat Juba writes, "As the world launched the 16 days of activism, I appeal to the government of South Sudan through the Ministry of Gender to make sure that gender-based violence is reduced. Let us take action, be accountable, stop gender-based violence for a better society for both men and women to coexist peacefully." Peter Goch Anyang Majongdol in Block 3, Bortown writes, "With the dry season approaching, I'm appealing to the government of both Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area to double their efforts to reduce the series of revenge attacks which claim many lives, especially women and children in the area." Another listener starts by writing, "Hello, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. This is me, Angok Ayuen Luet from Kampala, Uganda. Thanks a lot for always updating us with relevant news happening in and out of South Sudan. I am so disappointed upon hearing the dismissal of Honorable Mayor of Juba City. Dismissing an action-oriented leader like Callisto Lado is not pleasing at all. There is nowhere on earth where shops are built on the road and remain untouchable. Callisto Lado could have been called and advised where he went wrong instead of removing him. Callisto was transforming the city of Juba with the name of SPLM and drawing popularity to President Salva Kiir." Isaac Tang Dak in Bentiu Town writes, "With the ongoing governance forum in Juba, I don't expect anything out of it because our country needs strong institutions, global standards of justice, commitment to peace, and not just advising those governors, some of whom are more violent and tribal, thanks to VOA team." Hilary Dani from Kampala writes, "What is happening in Kajokeji is a total disgrace and disrespectful to the Kuku community. President Salva Kiir issued a decree in 2007 for all the cattle and keepers to move to their respective villages, and this did not happen. Kuku communities are farmers and entirely depend on food from their farmlands. If a Kuku begins to milk cows of the others, will they leave him free? Our communal boundaries and livelihood should be respected by all." Malwal Adao Mal in Bortown writes, "Hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. It's like Jonglei internal conflict has no..." And this is not a surprise to me. "Earlier this year, there was a peaceful conference in Juba, all headed nowhere except in Juba, perhaps." Mabor Alat Rengu in Rumbek Lake State writes, "Hello, John Tanza and Nabil. It saddens me to hear that we still have unknown gunmen who attack people at Akobo County of Jonglei State. I am requesting the President of the Republic of South Sudan, General Salva Kiir Mayardit, to appoint a military governor to Jonglei State to quell the rampant child abduction, road ambushes, and make unknown gunmen known." Jacob Macheng from Urals Lake State writes, "The criminals who are robbing citizens in Juba in public transport have a big network. I almost became a victim last year when two guys on a motorbike called Boda Boda stopped and offered me a lift. As we moved further, they started speaking in Kiswahili, asking each other what I was carrying. But likely enough, my Kiswahili saved me when I jokingly answered them, 'I only have a knife and pistol.' They dropped me immediately and took off. Thanks for your comments. Keep them coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. The comments in this segment do not reflect the views of Voice of America on the events in South Sudan. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Tutu and the song Sogote. Listening to Tutu and the song Sogote. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us this evening into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America.